Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, fill this place with the new life found only in Christ, your Son. That life that comes through repenting, that life that makes us fishers of men, that life that brings the kingdom of heaven here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginnings. Everything has a beginning. How to begin? Now, that's a good question. And it's a challenge I have before me each week. Where to begin? What to write? And honestly, I have many false starts. I hit that undo, delete, cut, paste, and all those other keystrokes that my fingers dance each Saturday evening. But here's some other famous keystrokes. See if you can pull where they're from. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Anybody? Tax day, if it's April. George Orwell, 1984. Here's another one. All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Close. Leo Tolstoy, Anna Karenina. So you were close. All right. Now, Marissa Aria, if you don't get this one. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. And? Excellent. Good job there. All right. How about this one? All children except one grow up. Yes. By whom? Very good. You're doing. And Marissa Aria, and may a few others get this one. There was a boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis. All right. And then everybody, this has got to be the most famous. Call Me Ishmael. By Herman Melville. I mean, how to begin? I don't know how writers begin, but we see this in the four Gospels, each one beginning in a different manner. Matthew begins, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. Mark begins, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 begins, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. And then John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Each gospel began differently as each was being written to a different audience with a different focus, yet each one had the same purpose, to declare Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Matthew, he writes for the Jewish hearer, and he writes with intentionality that Jesus fulfills Scripture. Throughout Matthew are quotes from the Scriptures to show Jesus fulfills the words of the prophets. Matthew quotes Scripture more than 60 times to present Jesus Christ as King and Messiah, writing to open the eyes of the hearers to see their promised Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We see this in Matthew chapter 4 as Jesus begins his ministry. Matthew writes of Jesus returning to Galilee, Capernaum by the lake, the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And he intentionally mentions the names of the area, giving those geographical locations, those physical geographical locations, to root Jesus' ministry in an actual place. And that actual place shows what is happening there, fulfills Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Now, this is the sixth time that Matthew has said, fulfilled. He emphasizing Jesus fulfilled. Sixth time here. Here Matthew connects what the prophecy from the prophet Isaiah had written over 700 years earlier. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 and 2 in particular. That's what Matthew pulls. Here's Isaiah's writing, chapter 9 verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The future that Isaiah was writing about there in chapter 9 is now happening, taking present. The present right there is Jesus is now teaching and preaching, the light shining in that region. Jesus is being shown that his actions are fulfilling this prophecy from Isaiah. That's what Matthew is doing here. And it's these words of the prophets that are being brought to completion in Jesus and in his actions. That's what that word fulfill means, to be brought to completion. So 700 years earlier, Isaiah foretold there would be a time in the future that God would honor Galilee by the sea, where there'd be no more gloom nor distress, for the light of Christ will shine there. And this is precisely what has taken place as Jesus begins his preaching ministry. Now, also from Isaiah chapter 9, you probably remember, I'm sure you remember, is the prophecy that has these memorable words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And a few words later, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Matthew, he began his gospel with the genealogy showing Jesus is the son of David, son of Abraham. And now here in chapter 4, he's making the connection that Jesus is in this lineage. He's king, he's Messiah, he's the light. And the Jewish people would be making that connection, we would hope, as they heard, that's what Matthew's hope, they would make that connection and see who Jesus is in your own spiritual walk. As the Jewish listeners make those connections, you make those connections that this Jesus is the one the prophet Isaiah said would come. Matthew is showing here Jesus is acting in a manner that brings to completion the prophecy. And the next words Matthew writes in chapter 4 are these, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That word translated as preach, its root word is keruso. And keruso means to be a herald, to proclaim. So you're heralding, you're proclaiming that Jesus is doing this. And so this proclaiming, especially the way it's used in the Gospels, is it's being proclaimed and heralded in a manner that is authoritative. It's binding. It's binding. The Word of God is binding on you. And it brings eternal accountability to all who hear it. In other words, you have heard Jesus preach. You have heard the gospel heralded by Jesus. Now, what are you going to do? Will you believe and follow, or will you reject? That's the eternal accountability built into that word herald that Jesus is doing here. Jesus is heralding the Word of God. Jesus is sent by God to carry the Word of God into the world. This is what Jesus begins to do. Up to this point, his life has been of growing up as a boy in a carpenter's home. He became a carpenter and was dutiful son in that home. Now at the age of 30 or so, the time to fulfill the reason he was born, that light, that great light, shining in the darkness. Jesus Christ is preaching. He's heralding of God, as well as being the Son of God, fully God, and with the gospel that has eternal accountability. What he heralds, what he preaches, we ought to pay attention to. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, he began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. And this is in fulfillment of Isaiah saying, "Those living in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." That shining light proclaims, "Repent." Why repent? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. And what the Greek meaning there of the kingdom of heaven near, what it really means is the immediate imminence of the kingdom of heaven. It's there. It's not only near, it is there. It's drawing and it's there. The immediate imminence of heaven. So you draw near to heaven, that is, heaven is here. Why? Because Jesus has begun his ministry. In a manner, heaven is here because Jesus is here. Heaven is here. Repent. That call to repent, it's not heard much today. It's actually not preached much today either. Instead, we hear proclaimed, heralded as the highest good, tolerance, acceptance. Be what you want to be. Be your true self. Don't be judgmental. All that meaning of be tolerant, accept, do not judge, it all means don't look at those behaviors that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God. The actions in reality, these are sin before a holy God, because that is what the Scripture says is sin. Isaiah wrote, "For such a time as ours," when he wrote Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "the word of God is just as relevant as today as then. Who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to all those," is what Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 is. "Woe to them who call evil good and good evil." Don't we see that all around us? Don't we hear that in the news? They're changing the things of God. That's why this call, this herald of Jesus, repent for the kingdom of heaven. Its eminence is here. Yet the Son of God preaches, repent. Why repent? Because you have to be different. And the reason you have to be different is the presence of the kingdom of heaven. The world around us says, seek your own God on your own terms. Have whatever God you want as God. Go ahead, create God in what image you desire. To all this, Christ says, repent. There is where it begins. Repent. Metaneo is the Greek word, metaneo, and it's made up of two words, meta and neo. Meta means with. Neo means think. But to properly understand that with, that being with, brings about a change. And it means to look to the after effect of the with. The after effect of being with Jesus. The after effect. There's a change, there's a result. Here's an example. Do you enjoy basketball or do you enjoy soccer? And if you want to get better at basketball and soccer, what do? You find a player that is considerably better than you and you hang out with them. You play against them. By being with them, interacting with them, playing with them, the after effect of being with them is your playing skills. They change. And by being with them, you have changed. That's what this meta portion of that word means, that change that comes after. Neo is the mental effort to reach the bottom line conclusion. And the bottom line conclusion is we all have a moral culpability before a holy God. That's there. This moral culpability before a holy God. Now, to help understand metaneo a little more, let's go back to that basketball soccer illustration. By hanging out and playing with that player who's considerably better than you, not only do your skills increase, you pick up the skills, you will also find the way you play, the way you think about playing, the strategy, where to pass the ball, when to pass the ball, and that changes too. You start seeing the game in a different way. You are different in the way you play. Why? Because you're thinking different. You're thinking different because you're with him. You see the after effect changing through. The same is true in playing cards. If you play euchre with an accomplished player, your skills and your playing strategy, they improve. Piano lessons, too. You can find this if you haven't read the book. I encourage you to read it. Benjamin Bloom's book called Developing Talent in Young People. He describes the stages of developing the talent. The first coach teaches the person to fall in love with what they are doing. The second coach teaches the technique and the discipline to excel in that. The third coach teaches how to live in it. So it becomes a lifelong career, an avocation. The difference between being a fine pianist and being a concert performing pianist, an artist. That's the difference that third coach makes. So the second coach gets you to be in that fine playing pianist. The third coach gets you to be the concert pianist that thinks and plays out and does what it means to be that. Who your coach is, in other words, who your teacher is, who your mentor is, matters because you will become like them. That's sort of what metanoia means. Whoever you're with, you will become like them. But the repent is that moral part of it. You turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is near. We then are to be different people. And the means to becoming different people is what that word repent means. Because we are now with Jesus, we act and we think differently. Because the Lord God is holy, we are to be holy. And that's one of the things we covered this past Thursday night in TNT from the book of Leviticus. And the Lord declared in Leviticus, we are to be a different people than the people around us. And the same applies with being with Jesus. Why? Because we are with Jesus. And through repenting, we begin to walk the ways of Jesus. We see this take place in Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Matthew changes his verbs here, though, in Matthew chapter 4. They are now the historical present tense. And that's, you can't translate that into English, so you find the past tense in the English. But in the Greek is the historical present tense. In other words, you see it before your eyes. Literally, you're being drawn into the action. So Jesus literally says, come here after me. Come here after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they did not hesitate to follow. And over the 3 years, we begin to see the changes that take place in them because they're being with Jesus. By being with Jesus, they become different people. Each of the disciples called becomes a different person by being with Jesus. Well, except Judas Iscariot. He didn't change his greedy, thieving ways. But the others left their old lives behind. They became the apostles. And the reason they became that is they had been with Jesus. It was even acknowledged by the people around them. Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. This is in the Sanhedrin, before the Sanhedrin. Peter and John, if I remember correctly. And this is what they said. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That proclaiming salvation under no other name, with boldness and courage, even the persecutors recognized those ordinary, unschooled men had been with Jesus. There's a reality to sin, a reality that such sin requires atoning blood as a sacrifice. And again, you can find that in the book of Leviticus. So it's not a matter of your opinion or my opinion or the world's consensus of what is or what is not sin. Scripture is the only arbiter and authority here. There's a reality to sin. The one heralding, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," is the one saying, "Come here after me," is the one who Matthew writes, chapter 4, verse 23, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." All of these were signs showing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And still, this one would end up being betrayed and crucified. Why? Because of sin. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice once and for all. For all sin, there's no need for a scapegoat anymore. Jesus took the full weight of sin. In fact, he became sin. He paid the redeeming price. He paid the price in full with his own precious blood. His blood was the atoning sacrifice, and it happened on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, that is Jesus, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the one. This is the one heralding, "Repent, for the kingdom of near." This Jesus is the one, and it began there. Jesus begins his ministry with that, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And this is where you and I and all people need to begin, and that is repent. All sinners, this is where you begin. It begins with repent. For repenting opens up the heart to receive the grace of God. It is in repenting that one admits one is wrong, admits one is a sinner in need of redeeming grace. The first line of the book, it draws you in, but it's only the beginning. The book then takes you through an adventure. The repent is the beginning. It's only the beginning. Be ready to set all aside as Simon, Andrew, James, and John did to follow Jesus. As they became fishers of men, you become fishers of men. In this community, on your street, in your workplace, on the playground, in your school, wherever you are, become that fisher of men. And being a fisher of men is the adventure of a life that is in Christ. It has begun. Together, let's see where Christ takes us as the mighty hand of God moves here in and through you and through faith in Christ. See where the mighty hand of God takes us as we walk and be with Christ. Meaning the mighty hand of God moving in our midst. See what the adventure writes out, God writes. And see the power of repentance. It's foolishness to the world, preaching Christ crucified. But it is the way of life everlasting. It's the way of redeeming grace for you and me. And that grace comes in through repentance. And it changes you. The way you think, the way you are inside. Because Christ has come in. And the kingdom of heaven has come in. And you can't help but be a different person. And become a fisher of men. Because that's what Christ does in people's lives. Redeems and sends them out. And so it begins. Amen. And amen.